Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go as we begin a brand new broadcast week, the final full week of the month of July here on the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that, in fact, is where you go if you would Okay, yeah, that's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Madcap Mary rollicking multimedia real-time extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room. Yes, indeed. If you pick yourself out a screen name and a password, well, you'll be joined and immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Hoghead and Jug of Punch and VP Vlom and others as they come wandering into the merriment. Okay, I'm just reading the chat room, too. Yeah, I left out the It's Showtime. It's Showtime seems to have not had much in the way of a welcome. People didn't like that. Right. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Steve in New York. Lakoti so far, L-A-C-O-T-I, loud and clear on TuneIn. Thank you. Thank you. That's a nice little... Nice little acronym. It's an acronym, isn't it? Yes. So we are off and running on this 24th day of July, 2017, the last full week of broadcasting as we run downhill toward toward licking the Lithuanian, nudging the Norsky, and finishing July on schedule. We have we finished last week okay. We got and thanks to the kindness of Peggy in the sandbox. And the members of the subscription crew, we've actually taken a little bit of a bite out of we took a bite out of the full week's fundraising goal for this week. It was at $1,500. Now it's at $1,250. So thanks to the subscribers and thanks to Peggy, that actually makes things work out somewhat. It works out mathematically interestingly. Because of, what I'm about to share with you. So, program notes. Let's see. It's the beginning of the week, so we'll handle all of this. In terms of program notes, next week, the first three programs of the week will only be two-hour programs, not three-hour programs, because I will be filling in, and I'll be attempting to fill the mighty big shoes of Mike Malloy, subbing for him as he and Kathy and Molly, I think, get away for one last time before the school year begins. Molly just celebrated her birthday, and maybe this is a birthday trip. I don't know. But They're going to be gone Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, which probably means a long weekend. They'll be gone Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I, Bob Kincaid, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, just now got around to that, will be filling in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That's the 31st of July, the 1st, and the 2nd. So those 3 days will be just regular, those will be just, those will be two-hour programs instead of three-hour programs, and then 2 hours of Malloy. Then Thursday and Friday will be as close to normal as this program, you know, is ever capable of actually getting. You know what I mean. But I got word from our buddy Scott in Sweden. And he has had an idea. And he has provided me with specific instructions on how to share this idea with you. I must say that I was absolutely flabbergasted to see what our buddy Scott did. So, without further ado, and precisely as Scott told me to deliver it, well, just stand by. Okay? Here we go. Howdy, fellow hornies. Our buddy Scott here. Long-timers will know that I've run the Beat the Swede Challenge a few times, where the ante keeps raising. For each consecutive month that we keep meeting funding deadlines. Let me just say how gladly I've been beaten, and how proud I am that you have all come through. All of us have kept old Bob-a-Rebob lunking along for almost a dozen years, and his devotion to duty, to us, to be frank about it, has been little short of death-defying at times.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be.
How does he do it? Why does he do it? It has something to do with needing to be on air for donations to come in. Out of earshot, out of mind, you might say. And that out of mind thing is what gets to me as Bob-a-Rebob sits in his studio, chained to the oar like a Greek galley slave, year in and year out. It weighs on my mind. This year, as I enter retirement and have left the drudgery of the daily grind behind, the value of a little R&R has never felt more important. So this year, I've saved up all my drachmas to announce the Send Bob to the Chirping Birds Basket Weaving Funny Farm for a Week Challenge. Yes, just imagine Bob and Agnes looking longingly into each other's eyes in the cool shade of a giant sycamore on the well-manicured lawn, without the stress of show prep, sharing a bottle of Chateau Haut-Brion, and their only streaming problem is whether to jump in au naturel or in swimming attire. So I am putting up a Have a Week on Me. And against all prior good advice, I am spending my year's donation in one place. Now, for Bob and Agnes's Once in a Blue Moon getaway. Anyone want to chip in? I will cover a full week, no matter what. And any further vacation extenders would be most appreciated. So, dearest hornies, let's send our lovers away for a little while for a well-earned waltz under the starry summer skies, mint juleps with curly straws at their table for two, massaging each other with mosquito repellent, and, well, enough said, you know the rest. Yes, it's the Send Bob to the Chirping Birds Basket Weaving Funny Farm for a Week Challenge, and remember, only you can prevent Bob burnout. Signed, our buddy Scott. Imagine my surprise when I saw that in my inbox. The fact of the matter is, never, since we started this little undertaking, have Agnes and I taken a vacation. And it begins to tell after a while. So, our buddy Scott is ponying up $1,250 that he wants to see matched so that the bills can be paid. And the boss and I, Agnes, the Viking warrior princess, can sneak away, steal away, slip away for a week or so. And we will. We really, really will. You know, August is supposed to be that time of year when politics gets a little thin, not a lot going on. Sometimes it's downright dull and you wind up talking about pop culture or I don't know, your favorite brand of car wax. Well, who knows what might happen when we're gone. But if this challenge is met, gone we will be. When, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you did. We'll be gone from, we'll be gone the second week of August. That would be, yes, really, a full week. The 7th, the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th. And for once, it won't be to work. It won't be to do missionary work for mountaintop removal. It won't be to attend to any family disasters. It won't be for anything except pure relaxation, courtesy of a challenge. The Send Bob to the Chirping Birds Basket Weaving Funny Farm for a Week challenge. It's going to take Scott, but it's going to take y'all. So he'll double what you put forward. And the way this week works out, it'll also end July by licking the Lithuanian and nudging the Norsky. And the way and also the way it works out, thanks to Peggy and to our subscribers over the weekend, it means that we can do that by raising about $240 a night, just $40 more than we ordinarily raise, which is down considerably from the $275 that it would have been otherwise. So there we go. That is an awesome and a generous offer courtesy of our buddy Scott. If you want to help out, well, it's the same place as usual, the PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. Okay, just fill it out, click the button, and away it goes. And meanwhile, I'm informed that our dear friend A. Nonny Mouse is going to try to make that happen by putting a $100 challenge on the table this evening. Get us that much closer. So, wow. You actually triple your money this evening? For the first $100, you triple your money. That's not bad. So, if you, and again, not that I'm climbing up on the cross, because I'm not. We need the wood. But it would be awfully nice to get away for a little bit. It really would. I think I forget what it was. Years ago when I looked at union scale for jobs like this, something like at least 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. I mean, well, you know, but, you know, we don't do that here. This is the only way that'll happen. So if y'all are okay with it, I would really, really, really like to take Agnes on vacation. And I have a pretty good idea where we'll go. Where we'll go where she loves to go, simply put. So thank you very kindly to Michael and Madison for getting it started. Michael says $25. So we just need 49 more people at $25 to send you off on vacation. Did I do that right? This is towards Scott's challenge. Damned if I know, Michael. But I think you're pretty. Yes, I think you're there. I don't cipher that good on the fly. But I think you did. I think you did that right. And that's extremely, extremely hopeful and helpful. Yeah, Marty, I know. Marty says, wait a minute. If I'm going to send anyone to a funny farm, I want to send myself. I'm already looking for a cuckoo's nest to fly over. Yeah, well, you better watch it or there'll be no fruit cup. So, that's the housekeeping. Why don't we do a radio program now? Because I think that would be a good idea for the next 2 hours and 43 minutes or so, shall we? But see, the nice thing is, before we go there, Michael, yes, it goes toward the vacation challenge, but it also goes toward a Naughty Mouse's challenge this evening too. So you tripled your right. Wonderful. Yeah, radio program. You thought I forgot what day of the week it was, didn't you? Yeah, well, I didn't. Not even a little bit. Oh, no. No. It's the 24th of July. Yes, it is. But, we do certain things. We do certain things on a Monday. Oh, yes, we do. Particularly, we do this.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, 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 step right up. The sound of the calliope will bring you near. Gather round, friends and neighbors, here just a few short steps off the Carnival Midway, right here at this thinly veiled cybernetic tent that holds behind it an absolute wonderment of morans. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. We have them all here for you, friends and neighbors, aunts and uncles, kitties and cousins, brothers and sisters. We've got each and every kind, each and every variety. We've got birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, trumpanzees, libertarians, republicans, one and all. We have morans. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. For something around the neighborhood of 16 cents per hour of live programming, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, minus one, hopefully, this year. Well, you get them all. You get each and every one of them. And by Jiminy, you can't tell the morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the morans. You just can't tell them much. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. No matter. Put down that ping pong ball that you were getting ready. Well, go ahead and throw it. You already paid a princely ransom for it. Put down. Come on over here after you're done throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls to try to win an itsy-bitsy baby iguana. If you win the iguana, bring the iguana, too. They probably appreciate morans as much as the rest of us. Come on over here, and just remember, as you enter the Moran Monday tent, to be careful and keep a spare hand on purses, watches, jewelry, children, pets, even the iguana, European-style messenger bags, because the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. You will. Dear God, you will. Yes, the Calliope lets us know. It's like a tolling bell in a cathedral. The Morans perk their little Moran ears up inside the tent. And we find out exactly how absolutely stupid, unutterably dumb, ridiculously ignorant the white wing can be. Some of this stuff might qualify for Wednesday, but not really. I don't know if you saw the news over the weekend, but there's a pop star out there. My kids know who she is. That's how I at least recognize the name. I don't think I'd recognize a song if you played it for me. Lana Del Rey. Lana Del Rey. Gave an interview to some British music magazine. I can't remember the name of it. But in that interview, she admitted to trying to cast a spell. Against, you know, Comrade Kumquat. You know, spell. Like witchcraft, okay? But it kind of made me wonder what kind of a witch she is, because in the interview she said, thoughts become words, words become actions, actions become... And I immediately, you know, my pink little ears perked up. How about yours? Thoughts become words. Words become actions. I know the fans of the Dune fans out there are going, wait a minute. Yeah, because that's Mentat stuff. There's that one famous scene in the David Lynch Dune movie where Peter DeVries drinks the Mentat juice, which apparently stains your lips purple and makes your eyebrows grow into caterpillars. And he recites something very similar to that.
But anyway, Lana Del Rey said that she had been trying to cast spells on Donald Trump. Thank goodness that's not illegal yet. But just because it's not illegal doesn't mean that it doesn't get the morons hopping. Now, I don't know if he was responding specifically to Lana Del Rey, but enter Lance Wallnau. Mm-hmm. He's a white wing preacher, Lance Wallnau is. But more importantly, he's a Trumpanzee. And of course, he's terribly worried about the homosexuals. In point of fact, at earlier this year, he anointed a cake. Or somebody anointed a cake. Yeah, somebody, some Christian anointed a cake and gave a bite to the owner of a gay bar who miraculously became straight thereafter. I don't know about you, but I don't want the anointed cake. Pass, thanks. But he loves him. He loves him some Donald Trump. And he especially likes Trump when he's being really good and warlike. He wants God to subdue. Yes, that's the word he used. Subdue nations that are threatening God's purposes or porpoises. We're not sure which. And so it was over the last few days. He jumped on Facebook because of all the witchcraft being practiced against the Tangerine Tiberius.
People are praying for the president, but they're not necessarily praying for his family. So right now, all those witchcraft curses that did not land on Donald Trump are trying to take out his kids, trying to take out his offspring, trying to attack anything near him. Now, I'm serious, you could joke about this, but like I know a friend of mine, Derek Prince, was talking years ago, a mentor of mine who was a Cambridge scholar and an expert in casting out demons. And Derek said, this look less ominous if I take my sunglasses off? Do I look less like an agent from the Matrix if I do that? So Derek said that...
No, Lance, you still pretty much look like a neo-maxi zoom dweeby. You can leave the glasses on. It won't make much difference. Did I get that right? He's an expert. Remember, it's Moran Monday. He's an expert in casting out demons. Now, I know that Dr. Evil went to Evil Medical School. That's why he spent 6 years in Evil Medical School. That's why he doesn't like being called Mr. Dr. Evil, damn it. But just where do you go to become an expert in casting out demons? I mean, like, if you're going to medical school, you get a cadaver to work on. And you kind of, then you peeling back and, hey, look, there's the liver. Oh, my God, it's a spleen. That kind of thing. Are there demon cadavers that young, aspiring exorcists practice on? I'm just trying to make some sense out of this. But, yeah, okay, so he's taken the sunglasses off.
He was casting a demon out of somebody and was pleading the blood over the person's family, and the dog jumped out of the back of their Jeep in a highway. And it was like some weird instinct came over the dog, and the dog was killed.
What is it with these people and the dogs? Remember Gator that barks at the blow-up spiders? Because they're full of demons? Well, this dog... Listen, I... you know, it's that whole the simplest, you know, once you've eliminated the impossible, whatever is left, no matter how improbable is likely the answer, simplest answers are always more likely than the complex ones. So instead of there was a demon in the dog, how about the humans in the vehicle scared the hell out of the dog so badly that it leapt from a moving vehicle? Oh, no, 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 Bob. That was demons. Demons is what that was.
And so he said, pray for the whole, for the, take authority over every attack against not only the individual, but over the family. So right now, I want you guys to share this broadcast. We got 1,500 praying now. I need to have around 10,000. We got 10,000. That's enough to give the devil jitters. So in the name of...
Wait. Hold on. 10,000 good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexuals is enough to give the devil the jitters? You'd think he'd maybe been... I mean, because look, there's millions of Christians, right? You know, data mining. Oh, we have an explanation here for how you become an exorcism expert, courtesy of Ron, who has returned to the squishy north, where they've had 4 more inches of summer monsoon rains. That climate change is going to suck a little bit, I get the idea. Not going to suck, is sucking. Ron explains, you give up sex with everyone except altar boys. You wear long black cassocks, commando, and pontificate on the sins of man. By the way, I've often wondered how priests use a urinal dressed in those outfits, but my mind often wanders down strange paths. Well, how do they? Don't ask. But see, Lance Wallnau is no Roman Catholic, so there must be a Protestant exorcism school, too. But that part about giving up sex with everyone except altar boys. Yeah, kind of.
Jesus, we take authority together over every hex, vex, spell, jinx, satanic curse, blood...
Hex, vex, spell, jinx, and satanic curse. Hex, specs, jinx. No, hex, spell, jinx. Hex, vex, spell, jinx. Hex, vex, spell, jinx. Hex, vex, spell, jinx. It's not the chant to Minnie the Moocher, but still, I don't know.
Curse every demon assigned to destroy the health of the president, to destroy the health of his family, to harass him and vex him, to cause him to lose sleep. In Jesus' name, we veto every curse that's been brought against.
What's with the hand clapping and the finger snapping? What is that? Get the devil's attention? Hey, dumbass! Yo! Over here! Lucifer! What? Has the devil got ADD? Is the devil sitting over there with a fidget spinner going, dee, dee, dee? Hex, vex, spell, curse. Hex, vex, spell, curse.
Donald Trump and his family and his administration. I pray, Father, for the blood of Jesus on Trump's son, Donald Jr., on Eric, on Jared, on Ivanka, on Barron, his son, on his wife, Melania, on the president himself. We cover him.
And now we've got the little hand gestures. He's just made a hand gesture, putting with his hands over his head, like he's you know, touching an imaginary bouffant hairdo with a lot of hairspray. Yeah. Sister Carol Baker noting, vexes and hexes and curses. Oh, my! Yes, Lance Ball now. Click those ruby slippers. Click them. And, you know, I'm looking in the background, and I'm seeing the fronds of a palm tree. It looks like he's on a balcony. It looks like there's some ocean behind him. and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Brother Usher Steve in New York pointing out, and the cow jumped over the moon. Mm-hmm. Hex, vex, spell, curse, west, side, story. Is it sharks, jets?
In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the spirit. I'm not even afraid to pray in tongues, man. Got to get Pentecostal sometimes. I command every spirit aside to harass and vex and torment and agitate this president. I command you to be bound in his mind and his emotions and his family. You will not harass. You have no permission to touch his family. They are sealed off in the intercession of the body of Christ against your...
And you know what? They are sealed off. You know why? Don't look now, but... because they don't exist. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like it really does. It sounds like it would go awesome in like a 50s Hollywood big budget musical. But they were even apparently worried about him having a stroke. He said, and I heard Rodney Howard Brown say when he laid hands on the president, he was worried there was a stroke coming. Well, we veto that stroke in Jesus' name, Shamalama Ding Dong. That is nothing but stress, and we're breaking it off of him right now. Ooh-ee-ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. I know. Note coming in from Robert in Australia. Why? Why do these people still believe in magic? Because isn't that what they're doing, practicing magic? Oh, geez, not the ancient Hebrew. No, that's not ancient Hebrew, Robert. Come on, get with the program. That's Reformed Egyptian, buddy. He's doing magic. Because magic is real. And he wakes up every morning, if he actually believes this goofy shit, and he says to himself, well, that's another day we pulled Donald through. But then again, you have to remember what this creep was doing for 8 years during the nightmare of the occupation of the White House by the Kenyan Muslim usurper. He got up every day praying for the Kenyan Muslim usurper to get hit by a lightning bolt. Or, you know, to be beset with demons. Well, no, he was a demon. Can a demon have demons? So, I think there's a little, there's some magic problems here. Steve points out, exorcism school. I don't know where it is, but I will submit that Opal Covey also graduated from the same program. Yes, yes, Opal in the radio station with the anointing oil. Now, I remember Opal. In fact, I think we shared that here. So, I just wanted to get us started with something resembling a little bit of a giggle. Because, well, I mean, just because a guy happens to be religious doesn't mean doesn't mean that they can't be a moron too. Anybody here ever heard of a woman by the name of Liz Croken? I know she sounds like she should be on some sort of alt folk summer tour of fairgrounds and stuff like that, but Liz Croken. I ask for a reason. I never do things without a reason. Oh, hey, Mighty Mouse. Before we jump over to Liz Croken, Mighty Mouse says, count me into the vacation challenge for $35. So that's 60 on the vacation challenge, and that's 60 on Ron's challenge. So we are we're off to a pretty decent start. Thank you, Mighty Mouse. Good to see you back in the chat room. I know Java and Firefox can be uncooperative. I completely understand. Thank you, Mighty Mouse. Apparently, Liz Croken is the total package over on the White Wing. She's a conspiracy loon. She writes things that pass for sentences in English and makes her an opinionator. She's a right-wing thought leader. She's an award-winning author, a seasoned journalist, and an advocate for sex crime victims. Comes out of the University of Iowa. Look, every admissions department makes mistakes. look at Harvard and Yale and Dim Leader. Jesus, look at the University of Pennsylvania and the current low C, high D occupant of the White House. A guy who called for a special counsel, C-O-U-N-C-I-L. You know, when you've got a special counsel investigating you, I'd think you would have seen that word enough to know it's C-O-U-N-S-E-L. But he called for had a Twitter hissy over the weekend. Geezer Disgustus did. And called for a special counsel, C-O-U-N-C-I-L. To investigate Hillary's crimes against humanity or something. Never mind the 4 years that they already spent investigating her and, you know, found nothing. Liz Croken. Liz Croken is she's a real winner. We're celebrating Morans today. And she knows what the problem is. She knows what the problem is in government. Oh yes, Liz knows. She knows, you know, she knows.
Here's something else that's going on behind the scenes, which a lot of people don't understand, is that the sex trafficking is so abhorrent, it's so horrible, it's so unbelievable. I believe that there's an orchestrated. There's an orchestrated effort with the administration to slowly break the news to the public about how massive and rampant of a problem this is. It's very hard for most people to believe that someone could rape a child. You know, it's hard for most people to believe that someone could rape like a young teen, let alone a child, a toddler, or an infant, okay? And it's even more hard for people to believe that someone could rape a child and then sacrifice that child and then eat that child and drink that child's blood.
I think she left out the part where they send the child to Mars, but who can keep up anymore?
Unfortunately, that's what these people do. They're Satanists. Like, the raping of the children and the drinking the blood, this is a ritual they do. This is their religion. This is how they believe they obtain power. They're members of the occult. They're members of the Illuminati. They're members of these creepy secret societies and group where they all worship Satan, Lucifer, whoever, Moloch, whatever you want to call it.
I just want to point one thing out, and I point this out because it's a lot dangerous. Alongside the rise of the alt-white, alongside the rise of the neo-Nazis and the skinheads and the Klansmen, there's also the rise of the Comet Ping Pong Pizzagate bunch, as, of course, promulgated by Alex Jones, among others, and now Liz Croken. You heard that business about how they kill the babies. Well, they rape the babies, and they rape the children, and they cook the children, and then they eat the children, and they do things with the children's blood, and they're members of the Illuminati and all that. I just want to remind folks that that's nothing new. That is what is historically known as the blood libel. And for a certain segment of people who hear this kind of filth, they understand the dog whistle that goes with it. Because this is the real anti-Semitism. The blood libel goes back to the Middle Ages, when Christians came up with this notion that Jews kidnapped Christian babies and used their blood to make matzah. I kid you not. And I don't know. I've been noticing it for years and mentioning it when I see it. I don't know who starts this stuff, but a lot of the complaints about the banks, you know, as soon as you hear the word Rothschild, Rothschild, that kind of thing, ding, 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 ding. This script has been read before, and is perhaps better known in other languages, let us say. But particularly this baby business. Now remember that this comet, well, the Pizzagate business and the baby raping in the pizza joint stuff. Remember, this all comes out of the WikiLeaks data dump. And WikiLeaks got that where? And just as a reminder, there's something out there called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And it is a smear document that was crafted in the 19th century by the Tsar's secret police. And then it was circulated all over Europe, made its way to America, made its way into colonial Africa, made its way into what we now know as the Middle East. Hell, made its way into South America, made its way to Asia. And it was one of the things that helped predispose a lot of Europe to either actively participate in or look the other way during the Holocaust. You can go and read it for yourself. It's all over the... The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And it's a nasty piece of propaganda. And it's still being circulated today. And I would submit to you, with things like Liz Crokin, whom the hell she ever is, with this filth, this just mad filth that she's talking about, you know, eating babies and babies' blood. Not... God damn. It's the 14th century and everything old is new again. It's just that it's offered up in a slightly more palatable social media format. You know, she says a third of the government's involved in a satanic pedophile ring that involves killing babies and drinking their blood. And I wonder which third. But let's get back to Liz.
And that is very hard for people to believe. But we did learn from the Podesta emails that that's exactly what's going on. These people are Satanists, and they are trafficking children, and they are going to spirit cooking dinners where they practice cannibalism and drinking blood and who Lord knows what else.
You know what's funny? They practice cannibalism where they're drinking blood and Lord knows who, what else. You know what one of the early concerns about Christianity was? People who didn't necessarily know much about the cult said, "My God, those people eat flesh and drink blood at their gatherings." You know, because of the "This is my body broken for this is my blood drink do this you know, in remembrance of me." Blah 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 blah. Yeah, those Christians they eat flesh and they drink blood. Guess what?
That's very hard for the public to process. It's very hard for, I cover this stuff nonstop, and I still can't process it. Like, normal human beings with consciences, with souls, can't process this information easily at all.
Sane people can't even process it a little bit. You know, because it's not real. Because this is just repackaged anti-Semitism done for a modern age for a receptive, credulous audience who knows nothing of history.
So President Trump and his people understand that they can't just come out one day and be like, "Oh, hey, one-third of the government is raping children and sacrificing them and drinking their blood and their Satanists." Like,
and sending them to Mars.
You just can't drop that bomb on people. People can't process that information like that. They need it in doses. They need to be conditioned. So what we have going on behind the scenes is that, and that, this is what I believe, this is my opinion based off of my sources and my research, that the Trump administration is slowly trying to condition the public and to prepare them for what's about to go down. And what's about to go down is that these people involved in the elite sex trafficking and the pedophilia will all be thrown in jail.
I'll be thrown in jail. You notice how when people are all going to be they're all going to be thrown. You ever notice how there's never a trial that deals in facts or anything like that? No. No, of course not. But I bring you this monumental stupidity for a reason. Because you see, there is a cult of human sacrifice in the United States. There most assuredly is such a cult. They think nothing of taking actions that would send tens of thousands of Americans to a grim, agonizing, and miserable death. I'm talking, of course, about the Republican Party. I'm talking about the health care bill. The one in the Senate, or the one in the House, and the one that hasn't yet passed the Senate, and may very well. It's gotten to the point now where some Republicans in government are actually even talking about doing some physical violence to people with whom they disagree. Take, for instance, a member of Congress named Blake Farenthold. Now, this is a guy, if you look him up online, you're going to have a lot of fun. You'll probably find a picture of him in a pair of in a set of footy pajamas, flannel footy pajamas, well, like fleece footy pajamas, with little duckies all over them, standing next to some woman. I've seen the photograph. I've tried to burn it out of my memory, but somehow the neurons continue to survive. Blake Farenthold, he of the footy pajamas, wants to have it out with Shelley Moore Capito and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. Morans. He went on some radio program in Texas that's hosted by someone by the name of Bob Jones. I'll spare you the audio. And speaking of Lisa Murkowski and Shelley Moore Capito and Susan Collins, in conjunction or in the context of the health care debate, he said, the fact that the Senate does not have the courage to do some of the things that every Republican in the Senate promised to do is just absolutely repugnant to me. Some of the people that are opposed to this, there are female senators from the Northeast. If it was a guy from South Texas, I might ask him to step outside and settle this Aaron Burr style. Now, of course, as a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, you know what that means. He was saying that he would like to shoot with a firearm Senators Shelley Moore Capito, Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins, because they have thus far proven themselves unwilling to go along with joining in with the rest of their death cult and sending 10, 15,000 American people to their death for certain and throwing 22, 23, 24, 33 million, who cares, off of health care coverage. Do you know what would happen to me or to you if we were to say that we would like to use a firearm to shoot a member of the United States Senate? We would probably get more than a stern talking to by the humorless folks in the black suits who spend time talking to their wrists. Well, yeah, with the footy pajamas and the duckies on them, Silent R. Lamar, lollipops at 10 paces sounds lovely. Single jingle for that. Lollipops at 10 paces. But I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. If you're a Republican, it's okay if you're a Republican. Blake Farenthold can threaten to murder members of his own party. And nothing comes of it. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'd settle this Aaron Burr style. He's a real tough one, that Blake Farenthold. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. But there's a death cult in the United States. We might even get all plural about it and say there are death cults in the United States. News broke out of San Antonio, Texas over the weekend of a tractor-trailer truck parked at a Walmart. In which were contained a large number of undocumented immigrants. Mm-hmm. Probably north of 60 people. They were being smuggled because we have a government that is controlled by people so thoroughly animated by hate that we can't have a reasonable immigration policy. By the time people in Walmart found out what was going on, and they found out because of the suffering, people begging for water, eight people were already dead of heat and asphyxiation in the brutal Texas summer sun inside what, for all intents and purposes, became an oven. So while creepy bastards like Lance Wallnau yammers on about demons that might give Donald Trump a stroke, while Liz Crokin listens to the worms in her brain yammering on about an imaginary child sex ring, the existence of which was probably, you know, sort of planted in the public consciousness by a country we won't bother to mention because it just gets people to make certain people send me annoying emails. You know, a country that shall remain nameless and except to say Russia! While they blather on about imaginary bullshit, a real death cult is at work in the United States. It controls the House of Representatives. It controls the Senate of the United States. It controls the Oval Office. It controls the highest court in the land and a terrifying number of federal judgeships and state governments. 29 other people who were found in that trailer in San Antonio were hospitalized. Some of them remain in critical condition. Some of them may suffer enduring brain damage. That won't slow down the Trump administration, however. They'll just be sent back to Mexico or where the hell ever, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras. Some of those being lovely little hellscapes that we created. A man has been arrested. The driver of the truck, James M. Bradley Jr., aged 60, of Clearwater, Florida. He said he had no idea what was in the trailer. One wonders. Some of the people who were in the trailer managed to flee before law enforcement could arrive. They had enough strength to get away. And now they will try to deal with the rest of their lives remembering the hell on earth of a suffocating trailer so packed with humanity that people could barely move. The driver of the truck, who was not the owner of the truck, who didn't get the money paid for the smuggling of the individuals, he's facing federal horizontal crucifixion now. He's been charged for knowingly transporting people who are in the country illegally. That statute, in turn, carries with it a punishment of unlimited incarceration, or if the crime results in death, you know, horizontal crucifixion. He's already been arraigned by federal judge Betsy Chesney. This all unfolded early on Sunday morning. And who knows how many other similar trucks are out there. Acting Director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement Thomas D. Homan said, to maximize their criminal profits, these human smugglers crammed more than 100 people into a tractor trailer in the stifling Texas summer heat, resulting in 10 dead and 29 others hospitalized. Human smugglers have repeatedly demonstrated that they have absolutely no regard for human life. Well, you know, and in light of the fact that we have an economic system in the United States that just whirs along like a top on the labor of such people, I'd say that that whole no regard for human life thing extends a little bit past, you know, the smugglers, the human traffickers. The contractor with the really, really spiffy pickup truck that goes down and picks up day laborers every day down at the Home Depot, pays them pennies on the dollar of what a citizen worker would get. You know, I think you can say of that guy that he has no regard for human life, too. Or the well-to-do Republican family that hires an undocumented woman to look after their children, doesn't pay workers' comp, doesn't pay into Social Security, barely pays anything resembling a wage, let alone a living one, Hell, Americans have a hard enough time. American citizens have a hard enough time making a living wage. The undocumented immigrants, not a prayer. Yeah, those folks. And maybe they're good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christians. Those folks, they have no regard for human life either. But see, from the contractor to the well-heeled folks in their gated Texas community neighborhoods, see, they're not going to face horizontal crucifixion because they're participating in the American dream. They're just engaged in the pursuit of happiness. James Bradley, the driver of the truck, an African-American man, by the way, waived his right to against self-incrimination and said he was absolutely unaware of the contents or the cargo. Only when he parked at the Walmart did he hear the banging and shaking in the trailer. According to James Laura, a Homeland Security agent, Bradley said he went to open the doors and was surprised when he was run over by Spanish people and knocked to the ground. Bradley said he then noticed bodies just lying on the floor like meat. Bradley said he knew the trailer refrigeration system didn't work and that the four vent holes were probably clogged up. That man is going to face horizontal crucifixion. That man participated in a bloody, brutal scheme. But what about the owner of the truck? What about the people who got the money that the undocumented immigrants paid to be transported? What about them? Nah. And they'll just go and buy another rickety beat-up truck. Because the profit margin in human flesh in the United States of America ain't narrow. Now, James Bradley, age 60, he apparently has a criminal history. Mm-hmm. Menacing with a deadly weapon, assault. Yeah. Busted in Florida, driving a stolen car from California, assuming these are all the same James Bradley. Charged with grand theft auto. In that case, he said he bought the car, but he didn't make payments. Person in California who owned the car said he'd never sold it. Well, that certainly sounds like he's been a bad enough human being to deserve to be horizontally crucified, doesn't it? But yeah. When I saw the stories about the demons and the death cults, it was hard not to notice the difference between fantasy, paranoia, and bloody, brutal 21st century American reality. Meanwhile, a note coming from Ron in Raleigh. Since we've heard from Ron in Canada, we need to hear from Ron in Raleigh. Let me clear something up, says Ron. This smearing of the Illuminati has got to stop. The Illuminati was an Enlightenment-era group started in Bavaria in May of 1776 by Adam Weishaupt to work against religious influence over government and the overreach of government power. It has nothing to do with the occult. And, yes, a bumper suggestion. That is a very nice call. A very nice call indeed. Ron, but I've already got something different picked out. Seems to fit so well, given what we're already talking about. So it's a quarter past the hour. We'll take a break. We are $40 away from meeting Ron. From meeting the first day of the week's portion of our buddy Scott's challenge. We are $40 away from meeting A. Nani Moose's challenge. We are $80 away from, it's 80 for our buddy Scott's, the first 20%. $40 for A. Nani Moose. You see what all this damn ciphering does? Let's just try to get there, okay? And thanks to Michael and Madison, and thank you to Mighty Mouse for jumping in. Much appreciated. With any luck at all, we'll knock a big old hunk out of it this evening, and just keep running downhill to the end of the week. Oh, wait a minute. Asa asks, just as an aside, Bob, is there a toaster in place for whomever guesses your vacation destination correctly? Because I think I have a pretty good hunch, and my old toaster's pining for the fjords. And provides me with a photograph of the signage for the Ballerina Swan Lake Mobile Home and Country Club. Well, if it was going to be the Ballerina Swan Lake, the news would probably already be out, because I would have had to make arrangements with Sister Carol Baker. But I don't know. We can always put that out there. An imaginary toaster for whomever guesses where I'm headed. We're headed. I don't even necessarily know where I'm headed, because, you know, like I said, it's up to the boss. You think I need a vacation. She needs a vacation. Okay, so, you know, we do call this conversation radio, and we've got plenty of conversing to do. Oh, yes, we do. Heck, I haven't even gotten around to talking about where Geezer Disgustus was today. And that's right interesting. So run on over. And by the way, for anyone interested, we have one subscriber for this day of the month, the 24th of the month. We have one subscriber. If anyone would like to become a subscriber on this date. We have one subscriber at $4.96, I think. If we had 13 $10 subscribers for every day of the month, I'd never have to talk about fundraising again. Wouldn't it be lovely? So, yep, break time, and then your conversation, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN, or the other line, 304-574-8178. Or from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, as long as we're already friends and in contact, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. Okie doke. Okie doke. So, make them ring if they don't ring, but you know what I mean. Make contact if you want to talk. If you don't, well, it's going to be more Moran Monday filibobster for you. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
$25 Mexicans live in the house where I was born. That's fine, don't worry me none. I got nothing against them Mexicans. I watch them work like the work of bees, building them roads, chopping down trees, doing a job my kind won't. Sometimes they smile, most times they don't. Across the borderline, there's a dream. Do a better life, we would seem. Far from home, they have to come, make some money, and send it home. In the trailer trucks, in the minivans, pack it like a sardine in a sardine can. Oh, now, mama, mama, let the candles burn. Mexico in the boiling heat of a Texas sun, left to die and her down go about a half of a mile from Mexico. You drive the truck, boy, that's the deal. You just a guy behind a wheel. Get the money all you can. Don't worry about them Mexicans. Oh, now, mama, mama, leave the candles burn for one day.
Told you I had a pretty good feeling that bumper would fit. That is the one and only Phil Lee from back in 2009. The album "So Long It's Been It's Been Good to Know You." The name of the song "25 Mexicans." Yeah, very, very nearly a 100% perfect match bumper. Oh, let's run over and check in with, I suspect, Jim. Hey, Jim.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm well. How about you?
Okay. I was just listening to this thing, or on TV, about these people that were asphyxiated. I mean, all they needed was to pipe the exhaust back into the back of the truck where they were, and it was been
and sudden, yes, and suddenly it's 80 years ago.
Got it. You got it, friend. Second thing, I just watched Trump address the Boy Scouts. And that was something else. I mean, his exhortations were passable. but the spirit in which those exhortations was made were made because of great concern. And at the end, the outcry of those assembled scouts was something that I remember from 80 years ago to the newsreels.
So you saw did they televise it? I mean, I missed it. I'm sorry, I was working.
Yeah. Usually I turn you on at 6, and then when Wheel of Fortune comes on, occasionally I might watch that, but that's in the preparation for Jeopardy. And as they cut out Wheel of Fortune, it's fine with me, to have Trump up there just exhorting these young people to do what he thought they should do in their own hearts. But after he left and stopped speaking, I heard these three massive crowd roars, and it absolutely made my blood run cold. Bob, they did everything but play Tomorrow Belongs to Me.
I figured it would be something like that. Because, one, let's remember, Jim, the Boy Scouts of America have been largely co-opted into, if they have not always been, a primarily right-wing-oriented organization. Okay? Authoritarianist.
I was a scout when I was a kid.
Well, then you know.
Sure, yeah. I even got the rank of star, and I just gave it up. I was just interested.
And I mean, the surest trip to to an appointment to the military academies is to be an Eagle Scout.
Mm-hmm.
The number of Eagle Scouts who are generals and admirals in our military, last I checked, is a pretty significant number.
Well, that's a pretty strenuous climb to the ranks of scouthood. Like I say, I just gave up. My last merit badge was in cooking, and what was the other? I can't remember. Campfire Billy. It was something else. No, it was wiring radios and stuff like that.
So did he? What was there of substance in his diatribe?
Same old shit that you've heard at his rallies. Same old stuff.
Didn't get around to the whole one nation, one people kind of thing, did he?
Well, I mean, I think that's what he's always been saying. You know, ein Führer. That's what he would like, in my belief. Or in my belief, I really do. But yeah, I just happened to catch it, and he was up there just... He was in good form tonight. He really was. Except they kept pixelating behind his head, and his ears sputtered out like some type of demonic creature. And I thought, how strange is this? But it was a pixelation on the picture, and boy, did they correct that quickly.
Well, for people who may not know, Jim, let's give a little bit of the backstory. People may not know that the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini came to West Virginia today, because they may not know that the Boy Scouts of America now holds their worldwide jamboree in Fayette County, West Virginia.
Well, that's where he was.
And they may not know that there's a gigantic Boy Scout camp there that was built almost exclusively, built on top of an old abandoned strip mine, almost exclusively with right-wing money.
Mm-hmm.
It is, in fact, you remember that nasty right-wing corporation, Bechtel? Well,
I do.
It's the Summit Bechtel Reserve. And by God, most of the, you know, and I, if, as I understand it, people lined the roads to see that old addle-brained fool's motorcade.
Oh, in Fayette County?
Yeah.
I'm sure they did.
And yet they not, and yet the vast majority of them would never be allowed anywhere near that complex. Because you can't just go there and see the Boy Scout camp.
Mm-mm.
It was built under secretive circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And there are conspiracy theories that run around that say that, you know, there's a bunker there for the president or the Congress or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
And if there were, it wouldn't be bad planning because it's, you know, that's actually pretty convenient to, you know, to Washington, D.C. in case of an emergency.
Mm-hmm. As long as he could get out of where he was within 15 minutes.
But you know why he was in such good form, Jim?
Mm-mm.
Well, he was excited. Because when his aides told him that he was coming to West Virginia, he was going to fly into West Virginia, they said, and when you land, sir, you'll come into Beaver.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Because that, of course, is where the airport is.
I will never forget when I first came here, I asked this girl where she was from, and she started laughing, and she said, well, I'm really embarrassed to tell you. And I said, well, where are you from? She said, Beaver. And I said, so? It didn't mean anything to me. Never have been interested in Beaver, except the ones who, you know, Bill Likens and swim in the world of water. That's all. That's the way I felt. I'm certainly not going to embarrass that young lady by, you know, even a smirk or a smile. I just, you know, do what? Good. I think I commented to her what, you know, what beautiful animals they were and how constructive they are and smart. But, yeah, I'm sure they lied the words to Steve, just like they did for W when he came, and we all remember all that and what I had to say about him knocking on my door, so there it is. But this guy is something entirely different. I mean, he's got an entirely different agenda going on, and it is just something that he is just waiting to pop open like some type of walnut or a bag of popcorn that's been left too long on the stove with the aluminum foil up top, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm sitting here looking for, let's see. Does every Boy Scout still have to memorize that a scout is thing? I don't know.
Be prepared.
No, the, let's see.
That's the motto, be prepared. That's on your, you know.
Yeah, I know, but let's see. The Boy Scout oath or promise. Let's just take a look at this, Jim. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law. So that means we'll have to look at the Scout law. To help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obey the Scout law. That's in there, okay? And by the way, I don't think that Marcus Aurelius was ever a scout, but never mind. So obey the Scout law. The Scout law is a
you
scout.
You dishonor that man's name.
Well, that's
you
why.
Really do.
No, Marcus Aurelius, Jim. Aurelius. Whorelius. Marcus Aurelius.
I know. I've always looked upon Marcus Aurelius as an extremely intelligent, very gifted man who was cast upon to do things that he just could not accomplish. In his meditations. Well, you say Marcus Aurelius, that's what I'm trying to say. But you're being polite. I could be less polite.
If we may all rest comfortably assured, Jim, that that you know Donald Trump has never even read the name Marcus Aurelius, let alone any of the meditations, okay, one.
I doubt it, of course.
Okay, so in the Boy Scout oath or promise, it says, I will obey the Scout law. So here's the Scout law. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Now, I remember that.
Now, how, Jim, does inviting Donald Trump to speak to their jamboree line up with any single one, let alone all, of those attributes?
I don't know, Bob, but when I was a Boy Scout in Troop 38, we didn't adhere to a lot of those things, because a lot of times the Scoutmaster would be there, and somebody would bring a bottle of hooch, and would bring cigarettes, and, you know, naughty pictures and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun, because the old wasn't there. You know, the Scoutmaster. I remember as a kid, I was a Cub Scout. My mother was a den muster. So I have a long history of traditional Scout experience, but it wasn't quite like that. I mean, that sounds real good. Sounds real good on a placard or whatever, but it just ain't quite so.
No, it's not. But
because
this
you've
is
got
but
young men of that age who are having other interests by that time, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I do. But by the same token, this is the public face they hold out to the world. All right. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just look at some of these attributes. A Scout is trustworthy. How does Donald Trump? What is it in his life that encourages a Scout to be trustworthy? You got anything? Because I got nothing, Jim.
Oh, stove lid Trump. He was never, ever known to steal a red hot stove lid barehanded.
Well, okay. we're digging deep, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
The man has stiffed just about everybody that he's ever done business with. That doesn't exactly fall under trustworthy.
Oh, hell no. I mean, how many people has he screwed literally out of promised money by going bankrupt when he kept the rest, and, you know, they had to go.
Well, how many contractors
or whatever, you know? I mean,
how many contractors has he refused to pay so that they would have to litigate it and wind up taking pennies on the dollar for their honest labor? Hundreds? Thousands?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It is, and you know, whatever they protested to him about that action, they say, well, we're going to take it to court. And he said, sure, because I got more money, I can wait longer than you can.
And
let's tie it up in the court.
And let's see, a Boy Scout is loyal.
Oh well, now that's something you hear a lot from him as of late.
Well, he demands loyalty of others, but he has none for anyone else.
No, he doesn't. I don't even think he's loyal to himself, to tell you the truth.
A Scout is helpful. I don't, let alone helping little old ladies across the street. I don't think he's been particularly helpful to anyone, unless maybe it would be, you know, his handlers and his masters in the Kremlin. And I know there's a certain segment of the so-called left that thinks that that's all just not real, but no, I think there's quite a good bit of evidence that suggests that it is. I mean, Jesus, he has a quiet little sit down, just him and Pootie, and Pootie's translator, and within days we find out that he's ordered the CIA to stop backing the anti-Assad rebels in Syria.
Why?
Yeah. You know what? That's just a coincidence. A Scout is friendly. I wonder if Donald Trump was being friendly, Jim, when he offered to pay the legal bills of anybody who beat up a protester at one of his rallies. Was that friendly?
Oh, yeah, he never did it either.
Well, no,
he's a liar.
He went. Well, that goes back to trustworthy. He stiffed them too. A scout is courteous.
Not him.
A scout is kind.
Not him.
A scout is obedient.
Him?
Jesus, the Constitution says he should not accept emoluments, and we can't even get him to obey that law.
Hell, we can't even get to review his tax returns. Good God. I mean, what kind of, outfit is that up there? I mean, he must have gotten his real training from the Russian Mafia.
A scout...
That's the kind of shit they do.
Yeah. A scout is cheerful.
Oh, let him get a contrary word across that desk, and you'll see how cheerful he is.
I don't think his tweets indicate cheerfulness. Do you? Sitting there with his thumbs hammering out his resentments and recriminations at 3 and 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. No, as a matter of fact, his own aides and counselors and whomever have advised him to please run this before us, he's not going to do it, and he's going to continue to do it because he will always be number one. He is the one who is in charge, and if anyone doesn't like what I say, if they object to it, they know where the door is, and don't let them hit them in the ass.
A scout is thrifty. How thrifty is it to bankrupt a casino?
Well, he made off like a bandit with that. What, that old Taj Mahal up in Jersey City, or
and hasn't had to pay taxes since because of his write-off.
Hell no.
Oh wait, this one's going to make you run rabbits. A scout is brave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never seen him wear a uniform or shoulder a rifle. Maybe some podunk private military school that's gone out of business that was like a high school.
Didn't he say that, didn't he get deferments to keep his precious little wealthy ass out of Vietnam?
I'm sure he probably did. I'm sure he did. You know, the minute I see him deplane from Air Force One and give that man a salute, it makes me sick. It makes me sick. Because he is insulting that man in uniform.
If I recall correctly, he once told Howard Stern, Jim, that the 90s were his sexual Vietnam. Brave.
How elegant. And that came from Howard Stern. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it was broadcast live. I think we finally found one we can... Well, I don't know. A scout is clean.
Well, that means that he doesn't defile himself in any way, I guess.
He describes himself as famously a germaphobe.
Oh, yeah, he definitely is. I mean, he's as bad as Hitler on that one. Excuse me. But he is. I mean, he is just absolutely nuts. As a matter of fact, you heard the story about old Chris Christie handing him the cell phone on election night, and he didn't want to take it because I guess he thought Christie had been slobbering over it too much. Which I can imagine he probably was.
Remember and you got to, you know, you got to wonder how clean a guy is. But then again, you know, he wasn't doing the peeing. The hookers were doing the pee-peeing on the bed, and he was just sitting back and watching.
Oh, you mean that thing that Trump may have on him?
No, that Putin may have on Trump.
I mean, excuse me.
That Putin does.
So long,
that Putin does.
Yeah,
that Putin does have on Trump, Jim.
I've heard that he did, and I'm sure that FSB, they are masters in that sort of thing. And, you know, if they invite you to a wonderful swanky hotel and all these femme fatales, or boys from the ATM bank, guess what? They're going to have you on video and audio. I mean, they've been doing this shit longer than J. Edgar Hoover ever did.
Yeah, well, you might notice when I mentioned the origins of the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion.
Yeah, I remember that very well.
That started with the Tsar's secret police.
The Okhrana.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they have been at it longer than we have.
Mm-hmm, sure have. And, you know, back to even, you know, I would like, and I don't know why, to look upon some of the Tsars as not being so brutal. I admire Peter the Great. I can understand what he did, why he did it. But, you know, others were pretty tough people to deal with. And the thing about it is they were all virulently anti-Semitic. They referred to them as Yids, and they would have these periodic pogroms in which they would have the Cossacks ride into their villages and just complete massacres, I guess. And, you know, as far as anti-Semitism, the Russians have a very, very high percentage of history in being that way than I think even the Germans did. Maybe the Germans learned it from the Russians. I don't know.
The Cossacks alone.
Right. And they were basically an armed force of their own, you know, of their own creation, and basically they had their wonderful-looking uniforms, but they had a different chain of command. They had license to do what they wanted to. I mean, all they had to do was get one word from Moscow or Petersburg that the Jews were causing a problem in a certain province or wherever, like Belarus or wherever the major pogroms took place. And boom, there it went. I mean, why do you think in the late 19th century, in the mid to the late 19th century, there was such an exodus to get out of Russia from the Jews? Because they were persecuted, and they were robbed, and they were called Christ killers. And then, of course, the Okhrana, who really weren't that terribly efficient, actually. But when they coined this protocol, the Elders of Zion, that thing went viral for that time in the world in which it was written. It sure did. And it caused a lot of anti-Semitism, not only in that country, but the entire world over.
Well, by the way, I have had a correction. I absolutely have. I just got a note from GK. Who says, now, hold on a cotton-picked minute. He says, Trump is obedient. Just ask Pooty Poot. So there. True enough. Okay. So maybe we've got clean and obedient out of that list. The last one, Jim, is reverent.
Okay, reverential in what sense?
I don't know. It just says, Boy Scout law. A Scout is reverent.
I've never seen him conduct any type of reverence in his rallies.
Well, I remember some reverence. I remember when he reverently went to the National Prayer Breakfast and complained about Arnold Schwarzenegger's ratings.
Oh my God. You know, where has this country gone when you hear shit like this? And the man who's supposed to be in charge of it, and the most powerful man in the free world, he no longer holds that title. I can tell you that right now. He is not the most important man in the free world. He passed that title along the day he took office. Because the manner in which he took office was not honest, it was not true, and it has just bedeviled him like some demon in the night why he can't correct that figure of Hillary Clinton's popular vote against his less popular vote. And it was just drove him absolutely crazy about the pictures of the inauguration and the numbers of people there. And since it was reported that Clinton did get the national popular vote and that Obama did have a much greater size in the inauguration crowd, the National Park Service has reported it to him. He will not believe it. Which leads me to believe he is beginning to believe some of his whole crap. You know, there's just times when I look at his speech and see, you know, I see it put together. It's cat and dog. It's like somebody who is not in full of their mental processes. I mean, this is one of the first things that a psychologist will look for when he interviews someone who is having a problem. Can this person stick to a subject? Can they make transitions from one subject to another and do so reasonably well? Can they speak without a lot of interruptions and things of that nature? That's what they do. That's what they look for. And Trump fails all these tests.
And yet, and see, this was the funny part. He can fail every one of those, Jim. And the Republicans in Congress won't do a damn thing.
Do you still think they're going to pass a health bill?
They're damned well going to try. I fully expect Shelley Moore Capito to fold like a house of cards, don't you?
You mean back out and vote for it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wouldn't, you know, nothing she does would surprise me. Like her old man. Of course, he had surprised me, you know. He liked to have his fingers in the till. I don't know. And in that case, you know.
I got to ask you a question, though. So, did you watch his whole address?
To the Boy Scouts?
Yeah.
I just flipped into the tail end of it. And, of course, the end of it was just like the beginning of it. You know what he does? He, in his things, he will say one thing, and then he will turn it around and say the same thing in a different mode or fashion. That's his modus operandi of public speaking. And he's driving home a point. He doesn't have that meaning in the first place. I don't think his memory is long enough to really absorb what he has said. He can't remember what he says from day to day. And if somebody tries to correct him, well, good luck for them.
Well, the reason I ask is because I just got a message from Isaac, who says quotes a tweet or shared a tweet from another person who said that Trump was talking at the Jamboree and said, quote, "and the hottest people in New York were at this party."
I never heard that, no.
Well, apparently it got said.
In front of 3,000-plus Boy Scouts.
Yeah. And there was this party, and the hottest people in New York were at this party, and...
Yes?
Well, I mean, no, really, you're talking to the Boy Scouts, remember? The Boy Scouts.
He said that to those kids.
Trustworthy, loyal, those helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. So
well,
I was at this party, and the hottest people in New York were at this party.
I was simply going along, you know, with past patterns of previous speeches. Yeah, well, I guess that was during his sexual Vietnam. Right.
I guess.
Man. I don't know what to say other than what I've said. And, you know, but what really shocked me was the way that he treated his Boy Scouts. Not the words he said, but the spirit in which he says it and their response. It sounded just like Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil. Now, if somebody wants to throw rocks at me for that, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to throw rocks at you because we know what his crowds are like, and we know that, you know, we know what the Boy Scouts are like. I mean, you know.
And, you know, those are the people who, and he exhorted them to, you know, become the leaders and this, that, and the others of, it was like a new America and this, that, and the other. Basically, you know, when I hear him, he's basically saying, but make America great again. It reminds me of what Adolf Hitler said, give me 5 years and you won't recognize Germany again. Take a look at Berlin in 1940 and look at it in 1945 for the entire country.
Well, here's hoping he doesn't make that come true. Trump doesn't make that come true here because.
Well, you know, that's. I'm sorry, but, you know, you asked me what I thought, and I expounded in what I do think and what I really run. That's the way my mind runs. A lot of people don't like it. Well, I think they don't like it because. Ever the more, it's coming too oftenly true.
Well,
that's just what I feel, bud.
Well, I understand it. I understand it, Jim. I'm glad you caught it because, like, well, I couldn't have. I was on the air, but I knew it was coming, and I've been embarrassed ever since the story broke.
And you did say that about some of the wildest parties and all this stuff.
And I was at a party, and some of the hottest people in New York were at this party.
I guess that was designed to make them want to be like him and be envious, and I guess feel.
I don't know. Maybe they'll create a attending hot people parties in New York merit badge. Now, is there a party planning merit badge?
No. There may be, but not that I remember. I took one for baking and cooking. I remember that. Because my mother said, my God, if a man can't cook, he's in trouble. He said, son, I want you to get that merit badge. But, I mean, as far as the others are concerned, no. No, no, no. But, you know, the reason I call is because I caught the tail end of this. I was going to watch Jeopardy. I didn't do it. Didn't get the right answer anyway, so that's okay. But then, that was more important than any game show to me. Because I just felt it. It just went all the way through my body like electricity.
It can be like that. I mean, it's pretty.
I mean, that's the reason I called you tonight. I wasn't going to call you. I was going to watch Jeopardy and just listen to what other people said. But that's the reason I just felt the need to get on the air and just express a few feelings, particularly since he was so close to where I live and the things that he said and the outcry and the roar of not the grease paint, but the crowd. And it was so much like Nuremberg, so much like those rallies. I swear to God.
Every one of his rallies feels that way, frankly, Jim.
But they are.
But it's especially so when the assembled are the future members of our officer corps.
Well, you know, there's a point in that. There's a reason for it. They want to mold young minds, and they want to make them, you know, tougher than cowhide and faster than wolves.
Kind of interesting that in all those things, a a Boy Scout should be. You know what's absent from that list, Jim? Curious. The Scout should be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, but not curious, not questioning, and certainly not questioning of authority.
That's it. So I had a third dose of it, didn't I, Bob, from Cub Scouts through Boy Scouts through a military college and their foot forward, did I not?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If anybody should have a take on this, it's probably you.
You know, I only had three answers for so much of my life. Yes, sir, no, sir, and no excuse, sir.
Life is more complex and complicated than that, Jim.
Oh, well, I know, but I mean, in my situation, what could I do? I guess they would have put me in the gallows, the rest of the ones at Nuremberg. I just followed orders. I hope not.
Indeed.
Enjoy talking with you, sir.
It's a pleasure. I'm glad you brought it up because that's where I was going next.
Well, enjoy. And let's see what you have to say. You got a good hour.
Yep. Let's see. We'll see what other people have to say, too.
All right. Good week to you, sir.
Thanks, Jim. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye now. And I'm going right over to the stress line. I think we got Charlie on there in just a second. Stay with me, Charlie. But, you know, just one last thing. In case there's anybody who's saying to him or herself, well, you know, gosh. The Scouts kind of had to invite Trump. I mean, every president goes and visits the Scouts. Right? Wrong. The first Jamboree was held in 1937 during the presidency of FDR. There have been, let's count them together. Ciphering's rough on me. FDR, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, LBJ, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Pappy Bush, that's 10, Clinton, Dim Leader, Obama, Trump, that's 14. Only 50% of the presidents who have held office since the inception of the Jamboree have gone and spoken to the assembled faithful. As far as I'm concerned, and God knows the Scouts have not earned a hell of a lot of respect over the years, especially with their homophobic tendencies. And, of course, the sexual scandals that have broken, things like that. Their resistance to, you know, girls.
Ew, girls.
But this was the last nail in the coffin as far as I was concerned. They have no honor. Because, as Jim and I demonstrated, there is not one goddamn part of the values they profess to hold dear that has not, in some wise, been utterly besmirched by the actions of Donald J. Trump. And here, this won't take but a minute, but it's been suggested by several people. So, yes, a brief interlude here.
Be prepared. That's the Boy Scouts marching song. Be prepared. As through life you march along, be prepared to hold your liquor pretty well. Don't write naughty words on walls if you can't spell. Be prepared to hide that pack of cigarettes. Don't make book if you cannot cover bets. Keep those reefers hidden where you're sure that they will not be found. And be careful not to smoke them when the scoutmaster's around, for he only will insist that they be shared. Be prepared. Be prepared. That's the Boy Scout's solemn creed. Be prepared. And be clean in word and deed. Don't solicit for your sister. That's not nice. Unless you get a good percentage of her price. Be prepared. And be careful not to do your good deeds when there's no one watching you. If you're looking for adventure of a new and different kind, and you come across a Girl Scout who is similarly inclined, don't be nervous, don't be flustered, don't be scared. Be prepared.
The immortal Tom Lehrer. Be prepared. More truth in that than was certainly on display at the Boy Scout Jamboree in Fayette County today. Oh, yeah. By a long shot. Okay, let's see what Charlie's up to. What's happening, Charlie?
Nothing much, Bob. You were talking about the tractor trailer load of people in Texas. I can remember, you know, back when I worked at Kelly Air Force Base, what people don't realize is these people that the coyotes bring to the United States, they have nothing to go back to. They've spent their whole life savings and given it to the people to be smuggled into the United States. And there's really, I mean, if they're deported back to Mexico, they have nothing. I mean, they've given everything that they've owned for their entire life to get into the United States.
Yeah, and most of the problems that occur that drive people off of the land are problems that have their origins in Washington, D.C., and in corporate boardrooms, Charlie, not in Mexico.
Yeah, for instance, if the value of the U.S. dollar begins to rise, a lot of machine farmers in Mexico along the border can't afford to buy their supplies from the shopkeepers and all in the United States. And it's a shame that, you know, the way things are down in South Texas. But I think there's a lot of these people Trump supporters and all that, if they knew exactly what was going on in Mexico, they wouldn't be so hard on the people.
You apparently think more highly of the average Trumpanzee than do I. I don't think you can educate them, one. Two, I think if they did know, they wouldn't damned well care, because they're those people. You know, not all pretty and white like your Trumpanzee.
Yeah. I don't know. Whenever I spent the time in San Antonio working at Kelly Air Force Base, I kind of got the education of a lifetime. A lot of the people. Now, along the border, it's kind of rough along the border in Mexico, but, you know, you get down into the interior of Mexico and, you know, it's just people trying to keep alive, basically. And it's just because of the poverty in Mexico.
And again, poverty that we have largely created.
And, you know, the government of Mexico is very, very corrupt. If you're one of the lighter-skinned people that have more European Hispanic heritage in you than some of the ones that have a more American Indian heritage in them, then, you know, you all of a sudden become privileged. You're in the ruling class and all that. And you know, of course you see the same thing with organizations like Ku Klux Klan and all in this country, but, you know, it's alive and well in Mexico, too.
Well, and again, that's something that was imposed. It's all colonialism, Charlie. You got to understand that. It's all colonialism. Whether it was the English imposing it here or the Spanish imposing it in Mexico and the rest of the and Central America, or the Portuguese imposing it in Brazil, it's all colonialism.
Yep.
Because while one tribal group might have conquered another tribal group, or I mean there were some pretty brilliant civilizations down there. It wasn't based on, oh, well, you know, their skin is lighter than our skin, or our skin's darker than their skin, and therefore, no. There was none of that. Say whatever else you want to, but there was none of that. That's all imposed by European notions of ethnic purity. I mean, yeah. The Spanish came up with an entire lexicon to describe a person who had some portion of indigenous blood, so to speak, flowing through their veins. Quatroons and octoroons. That's all, you know, that's all courtesy of European colonialism.
This is true.
And it comes down to us today in the form of, you know, what we saw in the in the Jim Crow South of the one drop rule. I mean, for instance, just one of those things we've talked about. What was it? One account of the woman that Thomas Jefferson raped for years and years and years, Sally Hemings. It was so pale she could almost pass as white. And that's probably why he found it easier to, rape her a lot.
Yeah.
But she was a slave because she had one drop or more of so-called black blood. Last I checked, it's all red.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Well, Charlie, go ahead.
I thought I'd just chime in and just tell you the things I saw whenever I lived in South Texas, and I'll get off here and let somebody else have it.
All right, you take care, Charlie.
Okie doke. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye now. My buddy Charlie calling from Tennessee. Let's see, that's not the one I'm after. There it is. Mm-hmm. We have no small number of problems with death cults and abuse of human beings. Oh, wait. Before I go there, let's check in, because he was ringing in earlier. Let's check in with John in Central PA. Hey, John.
Oh, hey, Bob. How's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
I guess with all things considered, you know. I don't know. Tonight, for some reason, I'm just extra stressed out. And it's because of this stuff, you know, with Trump and, you know, them doing their vote tomorrow. And I got to tell you, I guess you could say I'm sort of scared, man. Like, I'm very, very, very stressed out. You know, like, I guess one of the things that might have triggered it was earlier today, there was a petition on Facebook going around to stop voter suppression, stop this crazy shit that they're doing with their Election Integrity Commission, whatever the hell they call that thing. And some reason, I don't know why, I have a rule I never do this. But I opened up the comment sections. And I think that's what triggered what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Right now. I mean, it's real. These people are brainwashed, man. They're brainwashed. And they're not – can we stop saying – is it all right to stop seeing Trump – referring to them as Trump's supporters and start referring to them as Trump worshippers? Because these people worship this crazy man. And he didn't – I mean, I could see if it was like an FDR situation where he came in, you know, during a crisis and fixed the crisis and got us all out of it, you know, or something. Not that he would ever do that. Not that he would ever fix any crisis, but – you know what I'm saying? Like, if it was an FDR situation, I could sort of see it, you know? But this, he didn't do anything, man. He did nothing. And these people are praising him. Like, the clip that you had earlier with that guy trying to cast out or was trying to protect him from him and his family from spells or something like that, because these people worship him. And it's scary. It's like a monarchy kind of shit over again. Men died, you know, holding the American flag on the battlefield, trying to protect what these people are destroying. And I think that's sickening. And for them to assume the patriotic position in this country is disgusting to me and makes me nuts. You know, like, just like how the Tea Party hijacked the Continental Army's battle flag, you know, the yellow "Don't Tread on Me," because they think that they're the root of this country, that they're true patriots or something. And just the whole thing. I'm
right, and that is conveyed upon them by their whiteness. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I was just thinking that too. Yep. Yes, sir. It's what's going on in this country right now is disgusting. And it's downright frightening. It's frightening to me. And I think, you know, like my family and everything, they think I'm going crazy. Like, man, they're like saying things like, maybe you should see a therapist or something, because they think I'm obsessed with, you know, the whole political shit that's going on. But I try to express to them, you people don't understand what's coming. You know, I just have a bad feeling. Like you said a while ago, I think it was right around the time that Steve Scalise was shot, you said there's just a feeling that something is coming, you know. And I swear I jumped up out of my seat when you said that, and I thought, holy shit, that's exactly what I've been feeling, you know. Something is coming, and I don't know what it is, but it's not going to be good. I mean, I kind of missed. I was driving, so I sort of missed what I came onto the back end of what Jim was saying about Nuremberg rally down there where you guys are at the Jamboree. What was he saying again? What made him think that it was like that? Even though we all know that everywhere he goes, he turns it into his own personal Nuremberg rally. But
well, just the roar of the assembled, organized, you know, faithful after he was done speaking. And again, it's not like he's a great orator, okay?
Right.
But these scouts who are there, and they are all over the place. Traffic's a mess, you know. But they are inculcated in authoritarianism, all right, John? And like
right.
I said, questioning authority and curiosity are not two traits that the scouts teach or want taught. And so ever since it was announced that the president was coming, they've been readying for his presence. Okay?
And then
he stands up there and gives them an anecdote. I hope this clip shows up. An anecdote about, and I was at a party in New York and the hottest people were there. Jesus Christ, these are never mind.
Right. Yeah, they're kids, I was looking at some things online where there's a couple of people. There's a bunch of people tweeting about how wrong that there was. Even people apparently that were there that were live tweeting how wrong it was. You know, saying wasn't he going after the press again and shit in his speech? That's what I saw. some woman was tweeting saying that I'm here with my son, and the president is literally going off to the press in a speech and swore or something like that. That's what I saw from a tweet from somebody. But, you know, it's there's a lot going on, you know. Like, there's I've been trying to hammer on for a while now. We got a contingent of people on our side that just aren't ready to resist. They're not. And that is a big problem. And I think you alluded to it too a couple of times, that if we want to get anything, if we want to move forward, we have to put our differences aside on the so-called left. You know what I mean? With the Bernie supporters and the Hillary supporters. You know, I know people who were coddling Trump supporters more than they are Hillary supporters. You know what I'm saying? They treat Trump supporters with more respect and say, oh, you've got to stop being hard on them. And then they'll turn around and bitch about Hillary Clinton and the people that voted for her. You know, it's just, I don't get it. And we have a contingent of people. My point is we have a lot of work to do, you know, and it's, I don't know what we could do moving forward. I mean, it's on all fronts. I just don't know. And I keep trying to tell people, man, you don't want – the GOP can't govern. You know what I mean? They can't. And that's why I'm wondering what's going to happen with this bill coming up. What were your thoughts on that? I mean, I know I'm not very optimistic, but
– I mean, what do you mean? What are my thoughts on it? I mean
I don't even know what the bill is for. I guess it's what – is it a MPP or a motion to proceed or whatever, or this bill coming up tomorrow that they're going to vote on for health care?
I'm not exactly sure what it is procedurally, but they have to I don't know what they have to do, because, you know, for all we know Mitch McConnell is just making it up as he goes along, but theoretically,
right,
they'd need a motion to proceed.
Okay. But I heard some people saying, or some senators saying, well, it could be, you know, a motion to proceed so that we can have a debate about amendments that people.
Well, right. But I mean, as was published, as Think Progress said earlier today, I was reading it earlier. Nobody knows what the vote's going to look like tomorrow, not even the president.
The president of the Senate, or the actual president of the president pro tempore, or are you talking Trump?
Yeah, the tiny handed dumbass.
Oh, okay.
So the fact is, John Cornyn said it last week, that the American people don't have the luxury of knowing what's going to be in the bill.
Right. I mean,
you got a right to be nervous. Anybody who wants to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick has a right to be nervous. And the fact that the well-being of millions of Americans is hanging on the votes of Lisa Murkowski, Shelley Moore Capito, and Susan Collins, Jesus.
I know.
That ain't much.
And then, so Rand Paul said that he's in it, he's game now, or what?
Well, he's game for an outright repeal. Absolutely, Rand Paul's game for a repeal. That's what he's hollered for all along.
So you're thinking that that's what this is all about, an outright repeal?
Well, that's what Mitch McConnell said it was going to be.
Oh, man.
What else do they have left?
Oh, they were talking about they might vote on the House version, and they might vote on the first Senate version. And, you know, there's so much speculation. And I heard, well, I didn't hear, I read an article that that Lisa Murkowski was receptive to certain, I guess you could say, bribes.
Oh, I'm expecting Shelley Moore to fold like a house of cards any minute now. She is the daughter of Arch Moore. The man who all he was a shakedown artist. If you gave Arch Moore enough money, he would do anything.
Like you're saying the brown bag thing. You said, what do you, what were you saying? You say that he would leave, say, put a brown bag on my porch or something with lunch written on it, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, I don't think that she's, I think she's going to go along with it. I mean, she accompanied Trump to that thing today, you know? Like, and it's just, how many
So, I mean, my guess, John, it'll be a full repeal, or nearly a full repeal, but its effects will not take, it won't take effect until after the midterm elections.
Right.
It'll take place in that sort of dead space of the 2019 year when there's not, you know, because the first presidential primaries won't happen until late January, early February of 2020. Yeah, there'll be some presidential campaign talk, blah, 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 blah. But really, there won't, you know, so there'll be a whole year for the American people to completely forget how fucked they are.
Yep. You're right. It's actually kind of, and I hate to give the man credit for this, but it's kind of ingenious. You know, it's these people are not stupid, but they're very calculated. Well, they're not stupid when it comes to evil shit. When it comes to actually governing, they are stupid. They're dumb. They don't know how to run anything. They don't know how to govern at all. I kept hearing Malloy say that, and I thought, what does he mean that they don't know how to govern? And now when you see all these healthcare bill failures and shit like that, you kind of get to know, you realize they don't know how to govern because they don't hold the skill set of, and I hate to say it, you kind of have to do this when you govern, is reach across the aisle and work with the people.
Well, a lot of them, John, are barbarians in a very routine based rule oriented structure. Okay. They don't know how to govern. They don't want to know how to govern. Okay. There are some who do. Mitch McConnell does. Mitch McConnell's pretty sharp at it. He has an agenda and he's going to see it through. And that, unfortunately for us, that agenda is the destruction of government. Okay. You've got to really, really take this in deep. The libertarian ethos, which has, and that Ayn Randian anarcho-capitalist bullshit, has thoroughly metastasized inside the Republican Party. You know, think back. It may be historical, and you know, not within the scope of your lifetime, but Ronald Reagan said, "The 9 most dangerous words in the English language are, 'I'm from the government. I'm here to help.' Government isn't the solution. Government is the problem." Okay.
And that's the kind of philosophy, political philosophy that, like, my brother, for example, kind of goes by, you know, and he's not a Trumper or anything, but he's open to criticizing the GOP, but he's that kind of thing. Like, he'll be like, I think, yeah, we need single payer health care. And he'll just start, you know, waving his hands and, oh, no way, can't have that. No way. Because he's like, he goes, you Bernie people really make me laugh. He said, because you talk about all these problems that the government causes, but you want government to fix the problem. That's what he told me. You know, it's like, no, that's not even close. But you know, the point is, I'm.
And yet, libertarians, you know, to the extent business causes a problem, they want to let business solve those. So how's that any different?
Exactly. I told him. I said, you know, I said, you cannot have. I said, I'm all for capitalism. Most of us are. I said, but you can't have unadulterated, unregulated capitalism. You just can't, because it's in human nature to get greedy, and you're going to go right back to the freaking Middle Ages, you know. And that's the way it is, basically.
You know, one of the problems with capitalism is that it's a notion, and you know, when he came to the end of his life, Adam Smith did not consider the wealth of nations to be his greatest work. And, you know, it arguably wasn't. He was a liberal philosopher of the Enlightenment. And the capitalism that he invented, or identified, whatever we're going to, however we're going to refer to it, is a form of governance, or a form of business, rather, not government, business, where everybody shares both wealth and risk. Well, that's not what we do. But nonetheless, it was also a notion that came along at the same time that people thought, it's before germ theory, for Christ's sakes, okay? I mean, what our economic theory is underpinned by a notion from 1776, that's when The Wealth of Nations was published. But what would it be like if, say, our biology was proceeded from the assumption that disease was caused by ill humors or black bile in the blood? Okay? In other words, okay. a medicine that stems from that is going to be ineffective and quite possibly disastrous. And yet that's right. Exactly how our economy is run. Our economy is, and the world's economy, is predicated on false principles from the pre-scientific era. And all that regulation of capitalism is an attempt to bring some sort of reasonable sense to an unreasonable system. It's like trying to apply Darwinian evolutionary principles to Ken Ham's art park.
I don't even know if that thing exists anymore.
No, it's still there, hemorrhaging money and ripping off Kentucky, credulous Kentucky, gullible Kentucky taxpayers every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month.
That's disgusting, man. That's a topic for a discussion for another day. But that's oh my God. I mean, seriously, that is so unconstitutional. That's another thing. It's just another one of those things thorn in the side. You know, it'd be a great topic for Thorn in the Side Thursday, I guess. But you know, that's another. All right. What I'm basically trying to say is I've seen an uptick in right-wing-ism, period, this past 2 years. And the religion stuff is a part of it. The capitalism, the predatory capitalist stuff is a part of it. And I think it's pretty scary. Are we just a right-wing country? Is that what it is? I mean, I don't understand. Like, I understand that we're basically being ruled by a minority of people, but I also think that the system is collapsing. We're in a crisis right now, like you were saying. We're in a constitutional crisis where the actual republic is collapsing. If whatever's left of the republic is collapsing, and one of the reasons is, of course, because of unadulterated capitalism. Unregulated capitalism, and now we have the right wing taking over the country, and it just can't be good. And I'm wondering if would you consider us a right wing country now?
It depends, John, on whether you're talking about generally or politically or socially or governmentally. Obviously, our government is. Right wing to we're one step away from demanding that the military goose step. Okay,
yeah. So seriously,
right wing fascism, absolutely. I mean, that's the one part of government they like. They want to disassemble everything else and tear it down, but they damn sure want a military that can snap a salute in a really really in a really double quick hurry. They want that, and they'll spend countless dollars to achieve it. Depending on the polling you look at, it's all over the place. If you take the words Democrats and Republicans out of it, if you craft the questions really, really carefully, you can get a majority of the American people to say, hell yeah, they want Medicare for all. Yeah. Hell yeah, everybody should be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. Hell yeah, kids shouldn't have to be, come out of college $500,000 in debt. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem is, then you talk to them about how you pay for it. And you've got to understand, there's nobody in this country right now that doesn't think they're overtaxed. But if, but the problem is, if people were paying a penny on the $100, they would still think they're overtaxed.
Yep. Well, you know what? You know what I've been saying about how to pay for single payer health care? Freaking legalize marijuana. You know how much? I swear, marijuana, if it was legal in all 50 states, and I mean federally legal, it would. I mean, the economy, it would boom so hard. You could hear thunder in the sky from the booming of the economy because of it. And we could tax that. I say tax.
Well, remember there was supposed to be a big dividend when Prohibition was repealed too. And there was to an extent, but you cannot run a national economy on things to help people alter their consciousness.
Okay. Yeah.
And yes, well, I know big pharma, blah blah blah. But that's not running the economy. That's just making that's making a lot of shareholders money.
Yeah.
So I would love to see, I would absolutely love to see cannabis legalized. Frankly, I'd like to see it legalized in West Virginia before it gets legalized anywhere else. Because because if you've got isolated pockets of legalization, then you have economic booms for wherever it is. And God knows this state needs something to replace coal. The thing is, people have been fed since before the age of Reagan. This they've been fed a steady diet of resentment, John. You know. And Agnes and I were talking about this the other night, as a matter of fact. If somebody is getting SSI, I'm not talking about Social Security Disability, I'm talking about SSI. If somebody's getting SSI, they'll say, well, of course I'm getting SSI. I deserve it. I'm disabled. But that fucker over there, that little bastard's getting it too, and he's just getting it because he's a drunk. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I've known people who said, "Well, that bastard over there, he's on workers' comp lifetime benefits, and I see him out mowing his yard all the time." Well, you know, just because you can mow your yard doesn't mean that you can work for 8 long, brutal hours a day.
Especially in a place like a coal mine. You know what I mean? Because for a while there, that's all you guys really had down there in West Virginia.
Right.
Almost level West by coal for Trump Genius stance was that. And, you know,
We got a lot. Timbering is actually more dangerous than coal mining. We got a bunch of people who work in timber, and trees fall on them. And if you survive, you're all kinds of jacked up.
Yep.
There's all kinds of ways to look. The effective work lifespan of a certified nursing assistant can be ended in a minute just because some director of nursing says, you over there, go help Mrs. Thumbbutt, out of her bed. And Mrs. Thumbbutt is 375 pounds and you've got a 110-pound little girl trying to heave around on her, and the back goes, and game over. And that's not fat shaming for Mrs. Thumbbutt or anything. You know, it's a reality.
That's a hard, hard job. That's a real. Didn't you say that your wife does nursing or something? I know it's a.
She did. She did, and she's got the stories to tell.
it's a hard, hard job.
And
these
guess
people,
what?
They don't,
healthcare,
8-hour days.
Healthcare is the number one employer in the state of West Virginia now.
That's what I'm saying. How did they square that circle? How could they say, oh, we're I'm the job president, but I want to repeal something, a bill that's going to put people out of work?
He doesn't care. He doesn't do details.
He's a stupid man, you know.
And all he is interested in, John, all he's interested in is himself. You know, what can he do that will get him attention? That's all he's ever been interested in.
That's why it kind of bothers me when people worship him and genuflect for him constantly, and it is never ending. It doesn't matter what he says or does. That whole facelift thing when he said, oh, she was bleeding very badly from a facelift, just that alone should have, and the whole Republican Party should have cut that fucker off and said, we're done with you, you know, but you still got people worshiping him. I mean, just genuflecting, you know, in front of him constantly. And the man is such a petty little man. He's a small man, not like physically small. I mean, like, he's a small man, you know, and it's not to get off on that or anything, but yeah, it's everything is, I know I'm all over the place tonight, but I'm very stressed out because I'm basically scared, you know, and I try to express that to people, and they just don't get it. They think I'm, you know, I know a lot of Trump supporters too, so I can't say anything, you know, to them because I will lose friends, you know. I got friends who are Trump supporters, and I don't like it. And every time they talk about Trump, I have to leave the room or else they can see how upset I get visually. And one of these days I'm going to like flip out in front of them or something because I'm so sick of the constant worshiping. The worship is the only thing that comes to my mind, you know. I don't know if you saw the article. This was months ago, though. It was like in March or something, about a pastor that was preaching in the pulpit and had a picture of Trump on the back, on like a backdrop behind him. His whole congregation was bowing to the picture of Trump. Bowing. I mean, yeah. Have you ever seen anything like this, Bob? Have you ever seen it before? I mean, I don't know if maybe Reagan had the same effect. I don't know. But as long as I've been living, I have never seen anything like this. And it scares the shit out of me. Because
if it does you any good, you're not alone, John. I got a note from Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, something wicked this way comes. He says, John is not alone. Those of us with a clear functional mind are freaked out. We're not crazy. We're informed and engaged with a sense of history. It's not even a deep knowledge of ancient history that's needed. Simply taking into account the last century coupled with the first 27 years of this one. How could one conclude anything other than shit's about to get real? Real, real, bad. And it will. I mean, if they manage to pass this bill, and he signs it into law, and the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is repealed, it is complete chaos for as they are fond of saying out there, and for 1/6 of the entire economy of the United States.
Yep. That's probably going to bring, you'd be surprised how a very small fraction of the economy could absolutely drag the rest of the economy right down. It could collapse everything, you know, and that's why, I guess that's why they were doing the replacement thing, why they kept saying, oh, we're going to replace it. And that's where I kept thinking, well, wow, why don't you just amend it? You know, just change what you. If they really hated the mandate, and for all the reasons they have the mandate in there, I'm aware of the reasons. But if they hate the mandate that much, why can't Mitch McConnell meet with Chuck Schumer and say, okay, look, I have the votes to repeal it. I got the majority. We'll repeal it. if you don't work with us and give me what I want, and what I want is to take away the mandate. I'm saying if speaking...
Because he would be crucified by his own electorate for being disloyal and dealing with the other side. All they're interested in is brute force.
Dictatorship, kind of, is really what it is. I keep saying that we are in a GOP dictatorship. And it's to the point now where I'm so stressed out and so freaked out that I'm fighting, kind of, with the people that I'm supposed to be working with and helping get the local people elected and stuff. And I'm starting to get into arguments with them, and I can't stop because they keep it's one crazy, stupid thing after the other, you know? Like, I saw a poll. They were talking about a poll mocking the Democratic Party, saying, oh, yeah, did you see that poll that 30-some percent of people, I don't know if it was poll that they were sampling registered Democrats or just people in general. I think it was registered Democrats, that 30% of the people that are registered Democrats say that the Democratic Party is on the right track, and 60-some percent think that all they do is oppose Trump. And I said, well, hell, duh, I wouldn't vote for him if they didn't support oppose Trump. I said, so in other words, by you saying that, you agree with the Trump agenda then, you know? And I got them all caught up. Oh, no, that's not what we're saying. It's like, no, that is what you're saying. But it's that bad that, you know, I'm starting to kind of – it's creating a rift between people on our side while the GOP is laughing. They love the fact – they love hearing people on our side bring down the Democratic Party. Like, you know, like always say, oh, the Democratic Party, this and that. It's like, you know, I'm all for – holding everybody accountable. Yes, I think the Democratic Party was engaged in some serious improprieties last election season, you know, during the primaries and stuff. But I'm, you know, the way I see it, though, is I'm willing to work with them. I told them, you know, it's like the GOP, they don't want – I said I would be supporting the GOP right now if they were open to a progressive agenda. I would support any party that's open to a progressive agenda. I said, but the GOP does not want anything to do with us. I said, so what we're left with is the Democratic Party, you know, because we have a two-fetist attitude because you just want a two-party system. I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, look at the election laws.
But you know what? If I don't say something at this juncture, John, I'll get email from the Sparkle Ponies. The Democratic Party is about as flat-footed right now as it has been in a very long time.
Yes.
They can't seem to get their they can't seem to figure out what they want to rally around because the issues that resonate with people are Bernie's issues, and they don't like Bernie. Okay, let's be clear, they don't like Bernie. They're still pissed off at Bernie. It was her turn.
Yeah,
and Bernie ruined all of that, even though it wasn't Bernie who ruined it.
No. It was the Clintons. The Clintons are pretty much what brought – they're the ones who caused the Democratic Party to go into this.
And so, I mean, and so in a combination of ineptitude added to the vicious – I mean, look, it was ineptitude – and this goes back to something that was said Friday, John. Why does it have to be one cause? I mean, November 2016 was a perfect storm. Yes, Hillary Clinton was a terrible candidate. Yes, she was an awful campaigner. Still, she got 3 million more votes than he did. So it was a combination of bad campaign strategy and tactics, plus an antiquated government mechanism, constitutional mechanism that was designed for slavers, plus meddling and information warfare that emanated from Russia. All of those things work together. The thing is, we at least know some about the Russian meddling. We know about the people who support Trump. What we don't know is what the Democrats will do to stop looking like the Washington Generals going up against the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes. Hear, hear. You know, I think the best way to move forward is to do grassroots organizing. That's the way to do it, you know. And that's why I'm declaring right here, right now, tonight, that I am going to work really hard do whatever I can in my power through social media, through whatever, through what I'm doing as far as activism. I'm going to try my hardest to bring our side together. You know, I mean, we might, you know, some people might agree with issues from, you know, they might agree or disagree with certain issues. That's fine. But we need to come together and we need to be a strong force against them, because that's what needs to happen for us to move forward. And I'm going to try to do what I can to try to bring us all back together. Because before this election, we all were, you know, pretty much in lockstep with, you know, being against neoconservatism, being against war, being against bigotry and all that kind of stuff. But now, you know, you have certain people collaborating with it almost by.
There's no almost. If you support a single goddamn thing Donald Trump does, you are a collaborator.
Yes.
The lines were pretty well drawn in say occupied France. Okay? You either opposed or you collaborated.
Yep.
And it's that way. I for one will not be I will not collaborate in the destruction of me, my family, my community, friends, neighbors, colleagues, people I care about, this little community. I won't do it. And so that means you have to oppose him at every turn.
Yes. Except for now, what happens if he proposes an infrastructure bill or something? Because.
Don't take me there. His infrastructure bill is going to be predicated on money being given to people who are already rich and quite possibly selling off the infrastructure so that the entire interstate system is a fucking toll road, okay? That's his idea of infrastructure.
Ooh, we definitely don't want that.
There's not going to be, there's not going to be a Bernie-style infrastructure bill. That would require revenue, and he's all about cutting revenue. The only revenue that's not going to get cut is revenue for big, beautiful new aircraft carriers.
Yep.
I mean, did you see that shit from the launching of the Gerald R. Ford?
Yeah.
Holy God!
Why the hell would they name that? Name it Gerald. The guy was president for like 2 years. You know that they don't name any aircraft carriers after anybody that's not a Republican.
Well, the last one was the Truman, I think, but their children there in Congress, and if you name something after a Republican, you have to name something after a Democrat, or actually it's vice versa. If you name something after a Democrat, you have to name 13 ships after Republicans. The only thing is, Gerald R. Ford was known for being accident prone. For the sake of the men and women serving aboard that aircraft carrier, that really big, dangerous nuclear aircraft carrier, I hope the karma doesn't transfer.
Right. Well, I actually didn't see the launching. See, I tune a lot of stuff out, Bob, because it's anxiety inducing for me. I see. You know, I had a physician a couple of months ago, a woman. Muslim woman, I guess she would be, if she's from a different country. She told me that when she turns on the television on the news, when she sees that man's face, she says she has an involuntary, like, reaction to look away. Like, she doesn't even realize she's looking away before, you know what I mean, because of seeing him. And I'm the same way with all the news. If I hear something about president or something like that, I literally put my fingers in my ears because I cannot hear it. It's anxiety-inducing. So I block a lot of stuff out, and I really get a lot of my information from this program, to be honest with you.
Well, okay, so this was a tweet about the commissioning of the Ford. American Steel and American Hands have constructed a 100,000-ton message to the world. American might is second to none. Wherever this missile cuts through the horizon, our allies will rest easy and our enemies will shake with fear, because everyone will know that America is coming, and America is coming strong. Get a tissue. No, I added the get a tissue part.
Well, you know, that these kind of statements are not really...
The word you're looking for, these statements are bellicose. These are the statements of a man who hungers for war.
And power. Power and war. And that's where a lot of people, that's another thing where a lot of people on our side of the political discussion are telling me, hey, they're saying stuff like, you know, Bush was a lot worse than this guy. He's like, and I said, but dude, we're only like a half a year into his first year of his first term. We don't know what wars he's going to get into. Their point being that we're not in war yet, you know, and that's what their point is. And they're saying, you know, I'm happy that we're not at war. And I'm wondering, Bob, do you think that we're going to be in war? Because you seem to be able to predict a lot of things that are going on.
Not just yet. As long as Putin has control of him, we're not going to get in a war that way. I mean, let's remember, we're already in a war. We're in a couple of them. Now, the Saudis might suck us into something with Iran. He'd love nothing better than to get it on with Iran. But Iran is not going to be some little chicken shit pushover. Shit, we couldn't even knock over and knock. We couldn't even. It has taken. We have been in Afghanistan three times as long as we were in World War II, and still can't win.
Right.
Assuming, of course, that there's anything to win in Afghanistan, John. There's not.
It's a quagmire.
But the Saudi heart and the nasty little feels an awful lot like 1913, 1914 bullshit going on between Qatar and the Gulf states. Yeah, that could blow into something. And the dipshit in the White House doesn't even realize that we've got thousands of people under the colors on Qatar, which is, or should have been, nominally an ally.
Yes, and he rocked the boat with them, too. Because this man, I just don't understand why people, I mean, you know, like...
But he'll probably, John, he'll probably be like Reagan. You know, Reagan was this big, bellicose war hawk, but when it came right down to it, he went down and beat up a Caribbean island.
Right.
Grenada.
Yep.
Pappy Bush was a war hawk, but when it came right down to it, all he could do was shove around Panama. That might be the way this goes. But in the meantime, the future problems that are created by letting Putin pretty much have a free hand, you know, that is different, you know. It might have been a smart thing. Oh, I got to get out of here, John. I'm sorry. Let's carry this conversation on at another time. Hopefully, we'll do that. John, I got to get out of here, but it's been a pleasure.
I'll call him Friday. I just want to say about Ferg, man. He's great. Like, I've been playing for 16 years, and I hope he knows how good he is.
He doesn't.
Oh, that's a tragedy, or travesty, I should say. But I just wanted to tell you that too.
All right, I will convey that to him. Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Bye now. And it is time to get out of here. Hey, thanks to Fab. Thank you, Fab. Fab left us. Fab kicked in, so we've only got. Well, we've met A Nonny Mouse's challenge. We got $10 to go to finish the evening, and we're well on our way to matching our buddy Scott's challenge. So thanks, one and all. I'm awfully glad to be back for more in Monday. Titanic Tuesday will be here in 21 hours. I hope you will be, too. Thanks to everybody who keeps all this going. Thanks to Steve in the chat room, utility chat room moderator Steve. Thank you, Steve. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. We're taking over payments on maintaining the White Rose Society server while Ben's looking for work. That's part of the fundraising, too. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.